to order July 6, 2022. The time is 9:03 a.m. We have Daniel Guzman, Marie Summers, and myself present. Jenny Webster is on vacation, and David Jordan is on vacation. We do have a quorum, so looking for a motion to adopt the agenda.
So move.
Is there some add-ons you want to?
Yep, we're looking for a motion to adopt the agenda with three additions. So Section 5.1, Elder Assistance Program Law, Section 5.2, Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Application Submission Period and Disbursement Timeframe for 2022 Resolution, and Section 5.3, Election Law Emergency Amendments.
So move with the add-ons.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the agenda with the three add-ons. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Looking for a motion to approve the meeting minutes of June 15th, 2022.
So move.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the minutes of June 15th, 2022. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. First order of business is the Healing to Wellness Court Law. Clarissa?
This item starts on page 4 of your packet. So the request for the LOC to develop and adopt a wellness court law was carried over from last term and originally submitted on December 20th, 2017 from the Tribal Action Plan Laws and Policies Subcommittee. So on October 7th, 2020, the LOC added the wellness court law to its active files list. So since that time, the LOC has held 16 work meetings with a work group of representatives from the Oneida Nation Judiciary Trial Court, the Oneida Police Department, the Tribal Action Plan, Behavioral Health, the Department of Corrections, and the Legal Resource Center to work on the development of this law. So the LOC also participated in a three-day Tribal Healing to Wellness Court Planning Initiative training presented by the National Association of Drug Court Professionals in November 2020. So the purpose of the Healing to Wellness Court law is to establish the nation's Healing to Wellness Court to offer intensive case management, treatment, and court supervision to individuals who committed an offense directly or indirectly related to substance abuse or addiction issue. It will provide access to holistic, structured, and phased substance abuse treatment and rehabilitation services that incorporate culture, tradition, and our ways. It will create intergovernmental and intergovernmental collaborative teams to interact with each participant, and it will encourage and support each participant in the goal of their recovery to lead lawful, productive lives free of substance abuse and addiction. So the Healing to Wellness Court law will establish the Healing to Wellness Court as a division of the trial court. It will delegate jurisdiction to the Healing to Wellness Court for matters related to substance abuse and addiction and any matter arising under this law. It will delegate authority to the Healing to Wellness Court to collaborate and enter into intergovernmental agreements with other courts of competent jurisdiction that exercise concurrent jurisdiction. It will establish the Healing to Wellness Court team, which is comprised of a trial court judge, court coordinator, Oneida Police Department officer, representative from probation, substance abuse treatment provider, representative of Oneida culture and heritage, and any other member as determined by the team, and it will provide how any revisions to the composition of the Healing to Wellness Court team are made. It delegates authority to the Healing to Wellness Court to establish the policies and procedures that will govern the operation and implementation of the court program, and it provides that all Healing to Wellness Court team meetings and hearings are closed to the public and held in accordance with the policies and procedures created by the court. It provides that the Healing to Wellness Court is a non-adversarial forum where the Oneida Rules of Judiciary Rules of Evidence and Civil Procedure do not apply. So on February 16th, the LOC approved the draft of the Healing to Wellness Court law and directed that a legislative analysis be developed. On March 16th, the LOC approved legislative analysis. So the legislative analysis summarizes the law in plain English and provides additional background information on the development of the law and the legislative process and how this law relates to existing legislation. Then on April 6th, the LOC approved the public meeting packet and forwarded the Healing to Wellness Court law to a public meeting to be held on May 4th. This was the first public meeting that was held in person in over 2 years. So the public meeting was held on May 4th right here in the Norbert Hill Center's Business Committee Conference Room, and it was also held on Microsoft Teams. So although no one attended the public meeting in person, we did have two individuals provide public comment through Microsoft Teams. The public comment period was then held open until May 11th for the submission of written comments, and we did receive one submission of written comments. So on May 18th, the LOC accepted the public comments and the public comment review memo and deferred these items to a work meeting for further consideration. The same day, the LOC held a work meeting to review and consider the public comments that were received. So then on June 1st, the LOC approved the updated public comment review memo, draft and updated legislative analysis, and approved the fiscal impact statement request memo and forwarded these materials to the finance department, directing that a fiscal impact statement be prepared and submitted to the LOC by June 15th. So upon request from the finance department, the LOC subsequently agreed to amend the due date of the fiscal impact statement to June 29th. So the fiscal impact statement was then received from the finance department on June 29th, 2022. So overall, the Healing and Wellness Court Law is now ready for the consideration of adoption. So in your packet, you'll find the adoption packet for this item. So on page 8 of your packet, you'll find the adoption memo. So this memo contains much of the background information I just provided to you this morning. So next, I'll walk you through the remaining documents that are included in the adoption packet. So on page 10, you'll see the adopting resolution. So the Legislative Procedures Act requires that all legislation of the nation be adopted through a resolution. So this resolution summarizes the proposed law and highlights that the requirements of the Legislative Procedures Act have been met. So the resolution provides that the proposed law will become effective on July 27th, 2022. Then on page 12, you'll see the statement of effect. So a statement of effect explains the impacts or conflicts adoption of a resolution would have on the nation. So the statement of effect identifies that adoption of this resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's laws. So on page 14, you'll find the legislative analysis. So again, the legislative analysis is the plain language analysis describing the important features of the legislation being considered and factual information to enable the LOC to make informed decisions regarding the legislation. And then on page 21 of your packet, you'll find a draft of the proposed law. So this clean draft is what the law would look like if the proposed law was adopted as is. And then this is followed by the fiscal impact statement that was provided by the finance department on page 24. So the fiscal impact statement is an estimate of the total identifiable fiscal year financial effects associated with legislation, including startup costs, personnel, office, documentation costs, as well as an estimate of the amount of time necessary for an agency to comply with the law after implementation. So the fiscal impact statement identifies that the proposed law has a $259,147 impact on the current fiscal year and a $2,798,088 to a $4,123,996 impact during the next 10 years. So the proposed Healing to Wellness Court Law is now ready to be forwarded to the Business Committee for the consideration of adoption. So we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the Healing to Wellness Court Law adoption packet and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
So move.
Second.
Aye.
So this item starts on page 28 of your packet. So the request for amendments to the Children's Code first came to the LOC from the Indian Child Welfare Department on August 25th, 2020, for the purpose of addressing customary adoption. So the LOC added the Children's Code amendments to its active files list on October 7th, 2020. So since then, the LOC has held 8 work meetings and collaborated with the nation's Indian Child Welfare Department, the Oneida Law Office, and the Oneida Family Court on the development of amendments to the Children's Code. The Children's Code provides for the welfare, care, and protection of Oneida children through the preservation of the family unit, while recognizing that in some circumstances, it may be in the child's best interest to not be reunited with his or her family. Furthermore, the law strengthens family life by assisting parents in fulfilling their responsibilities, as well as facilitating the return of Oneida children to the jurisdiction of the nation and acknowledging the customs and traditions of the nation when raising an Oneida child. So it's the policy of the nation to ensure there is a standard process for conducting judicial proceedings and other procedures in which children and all other interested parties are provided fair hearings, in addition to ensuring their legal rights are recognized and enforced while protecting the public safety. So the proposed amendments to the Children's Code will provide that any orders made by the court under this law or any orders made by a court of competent jurisdiction regarding child welfare matters shall supersede any other order made by this court or a court of competent jurisdiction regarding custody or placement of a child until the Children's Code or other child welfare orders are dismissed. It provides that the department may enter into a protective plan with a family. It updates the general notice provisions as well as notice provisions throughout the Children's Code to provide greater clarification on providing notice in child welfare matters. It allows the department to withhold the placement provider's identifying information from the child's parent, guardian, or legal custodian if there are reasonable grounds to believe that disclosure would result in imminent danger to the child or anyone else, but it allows a parent, guardian, or legal custodian to request judicial review of that decision to withhold identifying information. It provides clarification on how a matter is referred to the Oneida Nation Child Support Agency for initiating a paternity action, and it allows the department to sign documents required by the Oneida Nation Child Support Agency on behalf of the family for the limited purpose of initiating a paternity action. It allows the department to make an ex parte request to the court to conduct an in-camera review to determine what information should and should not be released to the parties and their counsel. It allows a child to be held in custody in a hospital or other medical or mental health facility. It provides information that may be, but is not required to be, included in the court's order to hold a child in custody. It allows the department to request the placement of the child outside of the child's home at the plea hearing. It allows for the suspension of parental rights in addition to the termination of parental rights. It updates the continuing need of protection or services ground for involuntary suspension or termination of parental rights to be consistent with recent revisions to state statute. It provides information that may be, but is not required to be, included in the court's order of disposition for the suspension or termination of parental rights. It clarifies that an adoption under this law shall take the form of customary adoption when the court has granted a petition to suspend parental rights and take the form of a closed adoption when the court has granted a petition to terminate parental rights. And it allows the department to contract with a third-party agency to conduct an adoption investigation that may have been ordered by the court. And finally, it makes other minor drafting revisions throughout the Children's Code. So on April 20th, the LOC approved the draft of the Children's Code amendments and directed that a legislative analysis be developed. Then on May 4th, the LOC approved an updated draft and legislative analysis for the Children's Code amendments. On May 18th, the LOC approved the public meeting packet and forwarded the Children's Code amendments to a public meeting to be held on June 15th. The public meeting was held on June 15th right here in the Business Committee Conference Room. No one provided public comment during the public meeting. The public comment period was then held open until June 22nd, and we received one submission of written comment during that public comment period. So now we have the public comment review memo. So on page 31 of your packet, you'll see the public comment review memo. So this document serves as a tool for the LOC to use when they review and consider the public comments that were received as required by the Legislative Procedures Act. So if you look at the memo, it's organized by topic. So immediately after the comment divider, in bold, you'll see any relevant excerpt from the law. This is followed by the verbatim comment received, including the specifics of who made the comment and whether it was oral or written. Next, you'll see the response section, which is my attorney response to the LOC. Here's where I provide the LOC and the reader any relevant background information on the motivation or purpose of the law, any in-depth explanation of the provisions of the law, and any potential options for how to consider the comment. So the last section under every comment is the LOC consideration section. So this section is currently left blank, but it will be filled in with the LOC's discussion and decision on how to address each comment. So the LOC will be going through and reviewing and considering each comment that was received. And when they make their decisions, the LOC consideration section of this document will be filled in, and then the completed memo will be placed on another LOC meeting agenda. So after the memo on page 35, you'll find a draft of the Children's Code Amendments that was available for comment during the public meeting and comment period. This is followed by a transcript of the public meeting on page 82 of the packet, and then a copy of the written comments received on page 84. So we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to accept the public comments in the public comment review memorandum and defer to a work meeting for further consideration.
So move.
Second.
There's a motion and second to accept the public comments and public comment review memorandum and defer to a work meeting for further consideration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention, motion carries. We got two new submissions, Clarissa.
So the first one is the eviction and termination law amendments. So this item starts on page 85 of your packet. So the LOC is currently developing amendments to the real property law. And during those initial discussions, it was suggested that the LOC also review the nation's eviction and termination law for comprehensive amendments to be made. So on page 85 of the packet, you'll see the agenda request form for this item, followed by a copy of the eviction and termination law on page 86. So we're asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to add the eviction and termination law amendments to the active files list with a designated sponsor.
I'm looking for a motion regarding the eviction and termination law with the sponsor.
I'll make that motion, and I thought that David wanted to be the sponsor for this one because it's with that real property. I'm pretty sure he said that last time, but if not, I can be.
So accept the motion for the eviction and termination law amendments to be added to the active files list with David's sponsor. If he chooses not to, it would be Marie. Is there a second? Second by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Next one, Clarissa.
Next, we have a request under new submissions for the emergency management law amendments. So this item starts on page 94 of your packet. So during the June 24th, 2022 storm emergency debrief session between the Oneida Business Committee and the Emergency Management Director, it was identified that amendments would be needed to the emergency management law to address the composition of the Oneida Emergency Planning Committee. So the Oneida Nation Emergency Planning Committee assists the Emergency Management Director in drafting and maintaining the Emergency Response Plan. And at the request of the Director, the Oneida Nation Emergency Planning Committee provides assistance to the Director in the implementation of the provisions of this law or any plan issued under. So the Oneida Nation Emergency Planning Committee consists of representatives from entities and a community representative as identified in the Oneida Nation Emergency Planning Committee bylaws. So some positions identified in the bylaws are direct reports to the Oneida Business Committee or the General Manager, or are employees of the nation's Internal Audit Department, Finance Administration, Law Office, Business Committee Support Office, or Intergovernmental Affairs or Communications. So currently, Section 105.15-3 of the Boards, Committees, and Commissions Law provides that any direct reports to the Oneida Business Committee or the General Manager or any employee of the nation's Internal Audit Department, Finance Administration, Law Office, Business Committee Support Office, or Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications are ineligible to serve on an appointed or an elected board, committee, or commission of the nation. So an exemption to this prohibition needs to be included for the Oneida Nation Emergency Planning Committee, since it's essential that those direct reports and employees of those designated areas can participate directly on this committee. So we're now asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to add the emergency management law amendments to the active files list with a designated sponsor.
I have a question. If we wanted to make this an emergency amendment, do we have to define that right now as we add it?
If you know right now that you want it to be emergency, you can designate that right now. If not, we can add it to the active files list and then make that decision later.
Okay. I would like to add that as an emergency amendment right now. If you guys are okay with that.
There's a motion to add the emergency management And who is the sponsor on that one?
I don't know.
Who's the sponsor? I can be the sponsor. I think it's important to be having, putting it as an emergency. These emergencies keep coming. They're not stopping, so we need to be prepared. I think it's appropriate. But I can be the sponsor. Thank
okay,
you.
So it's the motion by Daniel Guzman, second by Marie?
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Clarissa, you had some additions?
Yep, so the first additions on the agenda is the Elder Assistance Program Law. So this item was an addition to today's agenda, so the materials are a handout. And I do want to point out for anyone who is listening to this LOC meeting via Microsoft Teams that all the handouts for the meeting were attached in the Teams appointment. So the request for the LOC to develop a new Elder Assistance Program Law was brought forward by Councilman David Jordan based on a recommendation from the Chief Financial Officer during the October 20th, 2021 LOC meeting. So the request asked the LOC to consider developing a new law which would establish an approved program under the United General Welfare Law, which would transition the nation's elderly 65 plus per capita payment distribution fund from being utilized to fund per capita payments to being utilized to fund general welfare assistance payments for elders. So on November 3rd, 2021, the LOC added the Elder Assistance Program Law to its active files list. So since that time, the LOC has held 10 work meetings and collaborated with representatives from the Oneida Law Office, the Trust Enrollments Department, the Oneida Trust Enrollments Committee, the Finance Administration, the Government Administrative Office, and Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications to work on the development of this law. So the purpose of the Elder Assistance Program Law is to establish the Elder Assistance Program to govern how the nation provides financial assistance to elders pursuant to the Oneida General Welfare Law. So it's a policy of the nation to prioritize the general welfare needs of its elders. The nation recognizes that its elders possess unique and irreplaceable stores of knowledge, skill, culture, and experience that enhance and enrich the lives of every member of the nation. The interests of the nation are advanced when its elders remain confident that their general welfare needs can be met. So the Elder Assistance Program Law will establish the Elder Assistance Program as an approved program of the nation in accordance with the Oneida General Welfare Law. It provides how the program qualifies for general welfare exclusion. It provides the eligibility requirements for accessing assistance from the program, which is that a person is a member of the nation, age 65 or older, and submits a completed application during the designated submission timeframe. It provides the minimum requirements for the information that must be included on the application. It provides how and when funds from the Elder Assistance Program are disbursed. It provides for the types of expenses that shall be considered qualifying expenditures for use of assistance from the program by the recipient. It provides information on the funding source and who determines the amount of available funding for to an eligible participant. And it provides the department that has the responsibilities to administer the program. So on March 2nd, the LOC accepted the initial draft of the Elder Assistance Program Law and deferred it to a work meeting for further discussion. On March 10th, the LOC considered all input that was received during the work meeting and made some updates to the law. On March 16th, the LOC approved the updated draft of the law and directed that a legislative analysis be completed. Then on April 20th, the LOC approved the legislative analysis in a public meeting packet and forwarded the Elder Assistance Program Law to a public meeting to be held on May 18th. So the public meeting was held on May 18th right here in the Business Committee Conference Room and also on Microsoft Teams. So three individuals provided public comments during the public meeting. The public comment period was then held open until May 25th, 2022 for the submission of written comments. We received three submissions of written comments during the public comment period. So on June 1st, the LOC accepted the public comments and the public comment review memo and deferred these items to a work meeting for further consideration. That same day, the LOC held a work meeting to review and consider the public comments that were received. So on June 15th, 2022, the LOC approved the updated public comment review memorandum, draft, legislative analysis, and the fiscal impact statement request memorandum and forwarded these materials to the Finance Department, directing that a fiscal impact statement be prepared and submitted to the LOC by July 14th. So Finance provided the Legislative Operating Committee with the fiscal impact statement on July 1st, 2022. So overall, the Elder Assistance Program Law is now ready for the consideration of adoption. in the handout materials, you'll see the adoption packet for this item. So on page 4 of the handout, you'll find the adoption memo. So again, this contains much of the background information I provided. On page 6, you'll see the adopting resolution. So the resolution provides that the proposed law will become effective immediately upon adoption on June 13th, 2022. Then on page 8, you'll see the statement of effect. So the statement of effect identifies that adoption of the resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's laws. On page 10, you'll see the legislative analysis. The legislative analysis is that plain language analysis describing the important features of the law. On page 15 of that handout, you'll see the draft of the proposed law. So this is a clean draft of what the law would look like if it was adopted as is. And then on page 19, you'll see the fiscal impact statement provided by the finance. And the fiscal impact statement identifies that the proposed law has an impact of $367,930.50 as a savings to eligible members in the current fiscal year. And it also has an impact of $3,679,305 of savings to eligible members during the next 10 years. So the proposed Elder Assistance Program law is now ready to be forwarded to the Business Committee for consideration of adoption. So I have two motions for the LOC to consider today. So the first motion is we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the Elder Assistance Program law adoption packet and forward to the United Business Committee for consideration.
So move.
Second.
There's a motion by Marie and a second by Daniel to approve the adoption packet of the Elder Assistant Program and forward to the Business Committee for consideration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Thank you.
So now that we have approved the adoption packet for the Elder Assistance Program law, there's one more consideration related to the Elder Assistance Program law. So on page 22 of the handout materials, you'll find a resolution titled Elder Assistance Program Application Submission Period and Disbursement Timeframe for 2022. So the Elder Assistance Program law provides that the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee shall determine the amount of assistance available to an eligible recipient from the Elder Assistance Program for any permitted distribution. The Oneida Business Committee then, in consultation with the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee, is responsible for setting forth, through the adoption of a resolution, an application submission period and disbursement timeframe for a distribution of assistance from the Elder Assistance Program. So this resolution provides that in accordance with Section 1002.6-2 of the Elder Assistance Program law, the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee determined that for 2022 disbursement, the amount of assistance available to an eligible recipient from the Elder Assistance Program shall be $703.54. Then, in accordance with Section 1002.5-2 of the Elder Assistance Program law, the resolution provides that the application submission period for the 2022 disbursement of assistance from the Elder Assistance Program shall be from July 14, 2022 through September 7, 2022, with the disbursement of assistance to be made on or before September 30, 2022. So finally, this resolution addresses a secondary application submission period and disbursement timeframe for those individuals who are late and miss the first application deadline. So this resolution provides that if an applicant does not submit an application for assistance from the Elder Assistance Program by September 7th, the applicant shall be allowed to submit a late application for the 2020 disbursement from September 8th, 2022 through March 1st, 2022. With that late disbursement of assistance to be made on or before March 30th, 2022. So this resolution is followed by a statement of effect on page 24 of the handout materials. So the statement of effect identifies that adoption of the resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's laws. So this resolution and statement of effect are ready to be forwarded to the Business Committee for consideration. So we're asking the LLC to consider adopting a motion to approve the resolution, Elder Assistance Program Application Submission Period and Disbursement Timeframe for 2022, and the corresponding statement of effect, and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Daniel, seconded by Marie Summers to approve the resolution, Elder Assistance Program Application Submission Period and disbursement timeframe for 2022 and corresponding statements of effect and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
So the next item under additions is the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law. So this item was an addition, so the materials are also a handout. So the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law was adopted by the Business Committee on an emergency basis on June 8th, 2022. And this law established the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund to govern how the nation provides financial assistance to its members pursuant to the Oneida General Welfare Law. So the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law provides that Oneida Business Committee shall determine the amount of assistance available to an eligible recipient from the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund per any permitted distribution. The Oneida Business Committee is then responsible for setting forth, through the adoption of a resolution, an application submission period and a disbursement timeframe for a distribution of assistance from the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund. So in the handout, you'll see the resolution titled Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Application Submission Period and Disbursement Timeframe for 2022. So this resolution provides that in accordance with Section 1003.6-2 of the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law, the Business Committee has determined that for the 2022 disbursement, the amount of assistance available to an eligible recipient from the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund shall be as follows. So there's the general disbursement, and that is a disbursement of assistance of $1,300 is available to any eligible applicant of the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund. There's also an additional disbursement for elders. So an additional disbursement of assistance of $2,000 is available to any eligible applicant who also meets the additional requirement of being age 62 or older. So then, in accordance with Section 1003.5-2 of the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund Law, the resolution provides that the application submission period for the 2022 disbursement of assistance from the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund shall be from July 14th, 2022 through September 7th, 2022, with the disbursement of assistance to be made on or before September 30th. So finally, this resolution addresses a secondary application submission period and disbursement timeframe for individuals who are late. So the resolution provides that if an applicant does not submit their application for the assistance from the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund by September 7th, then the applicant shall be allowed to submit a late application from September 8th, 2022 through March 1st, 2022, with the late disbursement of assistance to be made on or before March 30th. So this resolution is followed by a statement of effect, which identifies that adoption of the resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's laws. So this resolution and statement of effect are ready to be forwarded to the Business Committee for consideration. So we're asking the LLC to consider adopting a motion to approve the resolution, Oneida Nation Assistance Fund, application submission period and disbursement timeframe for 2022, and the corresponding statement of effect, and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
Clarissa, should that be March 1st, 2023?
Yes.
Okay. So that needs to be amended, or how do I say this motion, if it has to change?
I would say approve the resolution with the noted change to 2023.
Okay. Approve the resolution with the noted change, March 1st, 2023, please.
Motion, a second.
Second.
To approve the resolution, the Oneida Nation Assistance Fund application submission period and disbursement time frame from 2022, or is it 2023? 2022.
Yep, the title's
corresponding statement of effects and forward to the Business Committee for consideration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention, motion carries. And Clarissa, just for clarification, the last two items, the first one was for 65 and older, and the second one was the 62 and older.
Yes, so the first, the elder assistance program, that applies to members of the nation who are 65 plus. So that is transitioning the funding from funding per capita payments for those elders to funding GWA payments.
Right, and it's the same thing, different name and GWA, and it's non-taxable, so it's a saving to the tribe.
Yep, the fiscal impact statement identified a savings.
All right, we can go to the next one. Thank you.
So the last addition on the agenda is the election law emergency amendments. So again, this was an addition, so the materials are a handout. So yesterday, the LOC received a request from the election board for the consideration of emergency amendments to the election law. So the nation's 2022 special election is currently 10 days away to be held on July 16th, 2022. Section 102.10-2 of the election law requires that at least six election board members shall sign the election totals, which shall include the tape signed by the members of the nation before the polls were opened. So the election board provided that they only received three applications for the alternate positions, and there is one board member that has recused themselves and one board member that has resigned. So they do not have enough election board members to meet the requirements of Section 102.10-2. They would like the election law to be emergency amended to reduce the number of Oneida election board members who are required to sign the election totals on machine counted ballots from 6 to 3. So we're asking the LOC to consider the election law emergency amendments. We're asking the LOC to adopt a motion to add the election law emergency amendments to the active files list with Kirby Metoxin as the sponsor.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and second to add the election law emergency amendment to the active files list with Kirby as the sponsor. And I understand it. They don't have six people. And signing, I believe when the election happens, there's the machines. They print out a tab that says everybody running, and each person standing by that machine has to sign it, that they're seeing the right names on there. At the end of the day, they hit the tally. Everything rolls out. They all sign that they're all viewing the same numbers at the same time, and I get it. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Is that it for today?
Yeah.
With that, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Marie, seconded by Daniel. All those in favor to adjourn at 9:40, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.